This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like 1980 all over again. The great Larry Wedgeworth,
yeah.
and of course, Wiggy, the Click.
Yeah,
that's Larry Wedgeworth and the Click.
You had the moves, huh?
I had the disco moves.
Yeah.
No disco moves. I miss disco.
That's actually my parents' wedding song.
And I, until I saw Celtic City, episode 4, I had no idea that that was a hit. Because the Celtics were back. No more games. We're going all the way.
Right. So. That was after the, 81 championship?
Yes.
Yeah.
You prefer that to pitch please?
No, actually, like
pitch,
both of them.
Please.
Pitch, when I say pitch?
Yeah, pitch.
Not pitch
opening
perfect.
Day. Yeah. Opening day.
Yeah.
Baseball's on my mind, as it always is.
We got to hit up acrobatic, but no, I like both of them. I like anything that's done Boston related.
Yeah.
So, that brings back some, you know, like that time, the 80s, because Courtney said off air the 80s was, she heard it was a great era, but.
It was.
I always hear it was the best.
It was pretty good.
It was some fun times.
Is that what the youngins say?
Yeah.
That the 80s was the best?
Yeah.
Pretty
they said the
decade.
Best music, the best movies, the best clothes, hairstyles.
I think it was a pretty good, pretty good decade.
70s and 80s, to me, best music era around. You know, and I lean more towards 70s than I, and I wasn't even really, you know, I was born in 75, so I didn't really get to experience it. But as I started to get older and, you know, whether it was my mother playing music or, you know, listening to what my grandfather played.
That's a hot take. So for every genre of music, you think the 70s was the best decade?
Yeah, I love the disco. I love the R&B. I love, like, Curtis Mayfield. I love Bobby Womack.
On the rock side of things.
On the rock side of
Rolling
things.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah. And like I was a Bee Gees fan too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Phil Collins. So I mean
In the air tonight.
Yeah. But no, it just had I don't know. I mean
we all agree the 90s was the worst in terms of just fashion, like starter jackets.
No, that's back.
Yeah,
the 90s are back.
Yeah, the 90s era clothes.
Yeah.
Everything comes back.
Yeah, I love that. I love the
90s
era.
Stuff.
Like the weirdly, the jeans.
The
I don't know.
Kangols and the Timberlands and the triple fat goose jackets, 8-ball jackets.
I was just triple fat and hold the goose jacket.
Those were the good times. Those are the good times as far as your clothes.
All right. Well, tomorrow on this show... A Pudge's pal in the studio.
Oh, I gotta get that to Mitch. Yes.
Okay.
Cannot wait.
Oh my God, he's a cutie.
I have an idea.
Yep.
Because the draft snobs, no offense, Shime, are this is the height of their relevancy. So you're releasing your Mach 3.0 next week?
Correct.
Would it be okay? Because, I mean, I understand that you put a lot of effort into your mocks.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a lot of film.
Yep.
But really, I mean, nobody knows what is going to happen in the draft, so it's...
That's why it's an exercise, Greg. Pure science, if you will.
But just as a science, speaking of science, as an experiment, when the Pudge... Do you know the name of Pudge's pal, Curtis?
Yeah, Rafferty.
Okay.
He's a 4.5-month-old Aussie Shepherd mix who is 15 pounds.
I was thinking yesterday, could we take some kind of a, like a big white board and perhaps put a photo...
Oh, there he is on Twitch.
Oh, I can't take it. The different colored eyes is like my weakness.
Do you want him?
I mean, I love him. And the little like different colored nose. Oh, my gosh. I love him.
Oh. He needs a forever home.
He does.
But could we like take a big whiteboard, take a photo of Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, whoever Shime thinks the top 10 will be draft-wise, and put some kind of a treat next to each.
Mm. Can we do this with Jax?
And then we will have Rafferty?
What, yep. That?
Yep.
Rafferty select, do his mock.
I like this a lot.
We'll see, based on the treats that he takes, and then we'll see if Rafferty's mock is better than Shime's mock.
Okay, sounds good.
Would that be okay?
Yes.
Fine by me.
Okay, all right.
That's we can call it a mutt draft instead of a mock draft.
And I'm not discounting the amount of effort that you put in.
No, definitely not. By no means are you discounting that.
I mean, the hours and hours that you put into it, Shime, I mean, what else would you be doing?
You're right. What else would I be doing?
Not like you have a fiance or anything you could be spending time with.
Yeah, she works 8 hours a day.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
All right, so when he gets home, it's full on dive in, Pokemon, anime, hentai. It's just like
after he charges the car.
Nope. The beauty is you can go plug it in and go off and do whatever you want.
All right. Anyway, a Pudge's pal in here tomorrow morning. Right now, though, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Shime, you have me stumped. I do not know the artist.
That would be the band Alabama
with
the song Cheap Seats.
Okay, Cheap Seats. It is opening day, and Leeds this morning brought to you by the trusted 2025 Subaru Forester. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Shime, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. I love football, but the NFL sometimes is really dumb. And maybe somebody else can explain this to me, but they've since edited one of the rules. Normally, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties are handed out for taunting after a play happens. Now, they've included certain celebrations. Last year, they made an emphasis on the gun thing.
Yeah.
They were like, nope, can't
finger
do that.
Gun.
Yep, so now they've clarified it as all violent gestures. And one of the sack celebrations we're very familiar with because Matthew Judon did it quite a bit was the nose wipe.
Yes. Mm.
Apparently that is now considered a violent gesture by the NFL and will result in a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Can somebody explain to me how a nose wipe with your arm is a violent gesture?
It's a gang sign, I believe.
Is it actually?
Saying. Yeah, that's what they said.
Also, are you talking about during a pandemic?
Good point.
Because,
yeah, what if he's just sick?
Right, I mean,
if he's got a runny nose,
you could be threatening others with your germs. I mean, we went through a period of time where it was very dangerous to sing happy birthday around others.
Could it be drug related? Wiping your nose is like a drug thing?
I mean, I guess
he said it's like a gang sign, meaning you're out for blood or something like
really?
That against people you don't like.
Okay.
Well, now, Greg, listen, I don't know all the gang signs.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of meaning behind them. So I guess the NFL is doing their job, tapping in, some kid's gonna be watching that at home.
We were bringing back celebrations, and now we're getting rid of
certain ones.
I mean,
so the Cam Bynum rehearsed dance is totally fine.
Yeah,
but the nose wipe not good.
No.
What did Mac used to do? The gritty? The gritty. Is the gritty still over?
Now it's just the S-itty. Yeah.
I think you could still do the sword in the sheath. On the side, like you can come across the body sword.
The body sword is not violent?
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
Wait, that's not violent, though? I mean,
no,
the sword is the definition of violence.
Yeah.
Like, that's a violent weapon.
It's just stupid by the NFL. Yeah.
I don't understand their policing of all this stuff. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
You look like a bunch of old idiots.
Okay. All right, Shyam, excellent lead. Thank you. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Just wanted to say 20 years ago, in terms of opening day history, the greatest moment, all of our news boss has been emptied, so maybe we can find it later, but Mariano Rivera, Red Sox Yankees, the first opener post-World Series in 86 years, as the Yankees were introduced, as is the case every year, the Red Sox hosted the Yankees for their start of their season. The ovation Rivera got for blowing the saves, and then the way in which Mariano Rivera, the classiest guy in Yankees history, tipped his cap and turned this moment that was kind of Boston dinkish into this all-time great moment that he rose above. And I'll never forget Francona and Torrey shook hands at home plate. And Francona told Torrey that was the classiest thing he'd ever seen. So, cool day today. Obviously, nothing with that history, but I figured it was worth noting. That was awesome. You had the entire offseason of 04 knowing, whenever the schedule was released, that you were going to be hosting the Yankees as you unfurled that banner. And that moment, I think, stands alone as one of the coolest opening day moments in Red Sox history.
Curtis, thank you. We'll get to a lead from Courtney and a lead from Wiggy and a lead from yours truly next.